Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is down there in Studio X, one hell of a model American. Now we get ready for this 4th of July. A true patriot, Rhino. Appreciate you being here with me tonight. Rhino, you know, it's one thing, it's like the last day of work before the vacation, before the days off, the long weekend, whatever it is. But when you're the only two in the office, what are we going to get away with here tonight? I don't. What's going to happen?
Oh, there's all kind of insanity we could get into.
There'll be real shenanigans could be occurring here on Thunder and Lightning. We'll see how that goes. We're brought to you by our friends over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. VisitVicksburg.com is the website. We'll be telling you about some of the great stuff going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. If you want to contact the show, you can do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Happy to talk some MSU sports with you, or just, you know, just anything. Just anything. Yeah, you got questions about life. I can try to answer them. I certainly don't guarantee the results of my advice, and I will not be held liable for anything I tell you that goes horribly wrong, but it is what it is. Let's talk some baseball, believe it or not, here. Of course, it is, you know, that time of year where baseball is really the only thing going on, pro baseball anyway, but the college baseball ranks, it is all about the transfer portal. One of the things we, you know, you guys, if you've listened to me through the years and you've listened to the shows that I've done and podcasts, I always talk about, you know, when I get new information, I change my mind. A week ago, Mississippi State was having some issues in the transfer portal. They were lacking there. They were missing out on some guys here and there, and it was looking like that possibly they were going to struggle to find some more players to fill the holes that they have in this lineup. That was a week ago. Today, they've picked up two commitments in 24 hours, and they are trending towards some other ones. And you feel like they're putting together a team that can, you know, maybe be better than it was this past season. So that's just how quickly things can change in the world of recruiting and in the world of the transfer portal. Great name, by the way, for this first pickup, Ace Reese. My only regret with Ace Reese is that he's not a pitcher. That should be a pitcher's name. Imagine a pitcher being named Slugger. I mean, it doesn't work, right? His parents, they should have forced him to become a pitcher. But he is an outfielder. He's a guy from the University of Houston. As a freshman, hit 280 a season ago, was all-freshman, Big 12 conference guy, into the portal, coming to Starkville. That's a good get for Mississippi State. State has, in the portal pickups they've got, now they've gotten a couple of guys that have some pop. Garrick Fry has a little bit of pop. Stallman has a little bit of pop. Sullivan has some pop. They got some guys who can hit home runs. They haven't just, you know, try to you know, piece it together like that. But there has obviously been a concerted effort by Chris Lemonis and Jake Gautreaux to put together what, for lack of a better word, I would call a more Moneyball style lineup. That when you look at this team and the guys and where they played a season ago, the on base percentages are high. The strikeout percentages are lower, and it looks like, you know, if you were a State fan last year, you know that strikeouts were a huge problem for Mississippi State throughout the season. That they consistently left guys on base when they couldn't even get productive outs. I can't tell you the number of times they came. I mean, look, Jordan and Hines had plenty of big hits, but don't act like they didn't leave a lot of meat on the bone. How many times would they come up with a man on, two men on, and you'd have strikeout to end an inning? So State looking like they're trying to find guys who do a better job of not striking out. Now, I think some of that issue is approach. I think State sometimes is a little too patient at the plate, too willing to look at those first couple of pitchers, but that's a debate for another day. Right now, that's the path that State's going down. And so when you look at what State's lineup is and what it can be, now, there's a couple of key pieces to look at. They need another bat from the portal. There's some names to watch there. We'll just let them be. Does David Mershon come back? If you said today, you know, it's June 3rd, I think the draft is next Sunday, I think that's right. Do I think that David Mershon will be back in Starkville? I do think that right this second. Could that change? It absolutely could. It absolutely could. The same way we're talking about things change from here to there, they could change from there to here. But I think he's back as of today. And then the big piece that's interesting to me is Dante Norrie, the potential true freshman outfielder. If he ends up at State, that's a big piece to get because he's a potential top, 50 pick. I don't know that he'll end up in Starkville. I don't think that he'll end up in Starkville. But if he does, that's now you're starting to talk about having depth. And one thing that State didn't have a season ago was depth. Once you got out of the starting lineup, pinch hitting options were kind of slim for Mississippi State a season ago. Now you may have put yourself in a position where you've got some quality options on the bench that you can go to. So that'll be good for State. From a pitching perspective, the kid they committed today, Jacob Pruitt, looks like a good arm. Pitched for a good team last year in Indiana State and put up good numbers. You combine that with what we saw Justin Parker being able to do a season ago, I'm just going to have faith in his ability to turn these guys into quality pitchers. He was able to do it last year with the staff, with the exception of a couple of guys, one of which, Colby Holcomb, hit the portal today, so he'll be out at Mississippi State. There's still some holes to fill. Don't get me wrong on that. There's still some questions to be answered. They still got to go out and get another big arm. They don't have a guy that I would pencil in on Friday night. Now, the other way to look at that is, a season ago, I would not have penciled Kyle Steven in on Friday night. The guys I thought would be the Friday night starters, not the case. Colby Holcomb was one of those guys preseason. I was like, he should be really good. He wasn't. Carson Ligon was the guy I thought maybe he could be the Friday night guy. He wasn't. But they don't have that guy yet. But so I'm gonna put some faith in Justin Parker and the work that he's done, and tell you that they'll find that guy. They still got a couple of holes in the lineup. They need to fill those. But it's incredible how different it is than a week ago. A week ago there was a lot of concern. Today there's a lot of optimism. And maybe there's a bigger picture thing here to talk about, and that's, it's never as good and never as bad as you want it to be, that you think that it is, I guess I should say. Sometimes we talk about these things, and too many people they live in a black and white world. There's no nuance. There's no shade of gray. There's no two things can be true at the same time, which a lot of the times when we're talking about this stuff, there is, and that's the truth here. State has missed out on some big portal prospects. They've hosted some guys, brought them in for visits, felt good about where they were, and then you wake up and those guys are committing somewhere else. So that can be true, and then you could also say that State has done a good job to this point of bringing in some guys who should be able to contribute next year. They lack the big star. They haven't been able to get a guy like that into the roster. But that's okay if you put together a good roster. Quite honestly, this team, just on the surface, it sort of reminds me of what Kentucky did this past year. They just put together a roster of good players. But who was the star at Kentucky last year? Didn't really have that guy. So you go together, you go and you put on a roster that, a lineup together that can get on base, can drive guys in, still has a little bit of power to it. And you trust Justin Parker to put your pitching staff together, and should be okay. So I like where they're sitting today. Could that change tomorrow? Sure. Sure. Don't be so set in stone, is what I would tell you. It would be my advice to you, especially when you're following recruiting. It's don't be too high, don't be too low. The games are what matters. So if you go out there with a team that you think, hey, I don't know about them, and they, you know, that's what happened last year in baseball. I wasn't sure about that team. I didn't think they were going to be very good. They end up being a lot better than I thought they would be. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you now, this year with baseball, you're not going to get a lot of preseason prediction out of me. I'll talk about the team and what I think, but I was so far off a season ago. I'm gonna let some games happen before I jump too far in. Very important question here from the CSpire text line. Happy 4th. I need your opinion and analysis on if a hot dog is considered a sandwich. Maybe the most important question we've answered here on this show. No. A hot dog is a hot dog. Anything that comes on a bun, to me, is more of a not really a sandwich. Sandwiches on bread, not a bun. A bun and bread are different things. There are many different kinds of breads, many different kinds of buns. A hot dog is actually closer to a taco when you really think about it. You really want to blow your mind a little bit there. So, all right, let's talk some football when we come back. After we've dealt with that incredibly important issue. Media Days is 12 days away. Had to look at the calendar. Who's State going to send to that? Why do we not know that? I'll tell you about it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Gotta go now.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
Beyond the boundaries of your city's lights, stand the heroes waiting for your cries. So many times you did not bring this on yourself.
Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. We are brought to you by our friends over at Visit Vicksburg. Tomorrow's big day in the city of Vicksburg. If you want to go get some watermelon slices at the Old Depot Museum starting at 5 p.m., you can do that. There'll be a celebration at the Duff Green Mansion, $25 tickets for that, starting at 7 p.m. over there at Duff Green on First East Street. Or you can just go downtown for the fireworks celebration, 7 o'clock start for that as well. Plus live music from Dr. Czar and the Amazing Funk Monster. You have to really, nowadays, you got to really stress that word.
That's the sound.
That sound. Yeah, you got to be careful. What? Somebody said something on the show the other day, and I was just like, I had to turn my head. I was like, did he? And then I realized what he said. It did not sound that way at first, and then I had to go back. But you got to be careful these days. You never know who's listening. We got a Super Troopers discussion happening on the CSpire text line, which I'm all about. Are you Super Troopers or Beer Fest? Better movie, Rhino?
Super Troopers.
I like Beer Fest better.
I would argue that there's a dark horse in this conversation that hasn't been mentioned.
The Slammin' Salmon?
That's also a good one, but it's not quite Club Dread.
I've never seen Club Dread. That's one I haven't seen. So maybe I'll put that on the list. So I like Beer Fest. It's just frustrating. It makes me laugh every time. So today is July 3rd. On July 15th, July 15th, Sports Talk Mississippi will emanate live from the Omni Hotel in Dallas, Texas. I don't know if they're going to let me expense a 10-gallon hat and a pair of alligator boots. I hope that they will. I'll certainly dress the part if they let me. But SEC Media Days will be going on. Normally by now, we know who is being sent to SEC Media Days by each school. We don't know that yet. Now, I think the reason for that is this. I don't think that's a Mississippi State thing or anything like that. I think that's a conference thing because they wanted to wait and get Oklahoma and Texas into the conference, let them have their conference celebrations. I don't know if you saw that Texas had Pitbull and Oklahoma had a band. I don't know who they had. And they had all this to-dos, and there were shenanigans. There were shenanigans happening. And now it's the 4th of July, so you don't want to break news here. I could see it on Friday. They might break the news on Friday, but we don't know who they're going to send. So it got me to thinking, and I think every year, I have a moment where I'm like, I wonder who State will send to Media Days. But this year is really different because it's such a different-looking Mississippi State team in that you have basically no seniors or multi-year starters that the average fan would recognize and that the average Mississippi State fan would even have a lot of connection to. You know, on the offensive side of the ball, I think they'll send Blake Shapen. But I could very easily see, and remember what Shapen is, that he has not done an official Mississippi State media event to this at this time. He has not. We have not had a press conference. We have not spoken to him after practice, anything. So I asked the question, does Lebby go into that saying, look, we're still having a quarterback competition. Blake Shapen has not been named the starting quarterback for Mississippi State. As it stands right now, he's the first team quarterback, but that could change. And so we're not going to bring him to media days and let him speak as if he is a starting quarterback. I hope that's not the case. I think you should put the face of your program out there, and in any team, the quarterback's going to be one of those guys. So I'm hopeful Shapen will go. But then you look at the offense around him, right? Likely starters, you know, Devon Booth, transfer. Kevon Lee is a transfer who didn't play much a season ago when he was here in Starkville. Kelly Akari, Kevin Coleman, transfer. Sadu Traore, the tight end, transfer. Four of your starting offensive linemen are likely to be transfers. These are guys that, their knowledge of Starkville is 6 months here for most of them. So I don't know what you do there. You know, you don't have. You think about who. Think about who went last year for Mississippi State: Will Rogers, Woody Marks, and Jaden Crumity. Between the three of them, over 100 starts at Mississippi State. It's very possible the three guys State sends this year will have zero starts at Mississippi State between them. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You had to upgrade your roster. You had to get some new talent in. It's just an odd thing. You know, even Ole Miss, the team that we associate so much with the transfer portal, they will send guys that have been at Ole Miss for a couple of years. I would be amazed if Jackson Dart doesn't make the trip. I bet Caden Priestcorn or Jared Ivey or Trey Harris probably go along. And then maybe you bring one new guy there as well. I would bring Sunter and Perkins if I was Lane Kiffin, because that guy's a star and going to be a star. Defensively, it's kind of the same thing, right? You could bring DeMonte Russell. DeMonte Russell would be the most established starter that you could bring for Mississippi State. J.P. Purvis is a guy who started some games for you, but again, the average Mississippi State fan not overly familiar with him. Corey Ellington has started a number of games for you back there in the secondary, but again, I mean, there's not a star. This is Mississippi State team goes. They have guys who will become stars. Okay, don't misinterpret that as me saying there's no stars on this roster. We just don't know who they are yet. You know, will Shapen become a star? Will Akari or Coleman become a star? Triori is a guy I think has could be a star. Booth is a guy who could be a star. Just because this offense puts up numbers, it has everywhere it's gone before. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes, but. We'll see. I think they send Shapen, Lee, and Russell. I mean, they'll definitely send at least one defensive guy. Russell, it feels like the safest bet that they'll send. And then Shapen. Jaden Wally. I don't think they send Jaden Wally. Because he's just down the depth chart. He's not going to start this year, I don't think. I'd be surprised if he did. So I don't know if they send him or not. That might be something. I don't know. Did Woody Marks stay or go pro? He transferred. He's at USC now. He's in Southern California. He and DeCarlos Nicholson both ended up playing for the Trojans. So it's just interesting to me with State because I don't ever remember a team like this where going into the season I can't make, like, I don't know if accurate projections is the right word, but I just don't know who's going to do what. I don't know who this team's leading rusher will be. You know, going into last season, I knew that it would probably be Woody Marks. And if he had stayed healthy, that wouldn't have been an issue. I knew Will Rogers was going to do this. And I knew Tulu Griffin was going to do that. And Xavion Thomas was going to do this. I don't have that this year. You know, I know Shapen will be the starting quarterback to start the season. What's he going to do? You know? If you look at the outline of the Jeff Lebby offense and what it's done in years past, you can set a baseline expectation. Akari, I mean, is Akari or Coleman or Creed Whittemore or Trent Hudson or those guys, is there a Elijah Moore waiting to happen in there? A guy that you know is talented, but then you look up and he's caught 75, 80 passes? I don't know. I know that Levy's offense, every year there's usually at least one wide receiver with 50, 60, 70, and sometimes 80-plus catches. So who is that going to be for Mississippi State? Is State going to have a running back that steps up and is just a dominant player, or are they going to have a committee approach? The way that three of the 4 years that if you look at Lebby at Ole Miss and at Oklahoma, 3 of the 4 years there he had the committee approach. 1 year he had a guy rush for over 1,200 yards. So I don't know the answer to these questions, and that's exciting. It's exciting to get to watch the games and see all this develop in front of you and maybe learn some new names and see some new guys show up. But at the same time, I get why it's a little bit, you want to know why Mississippi State's not getting a lot of love in the preseason polls. Well, that's why, because everybody else is just like me. They don't know. They just don't know. I think State's got talent, but I got to see it perform in the SEC before I can just jump off the deep end and tell you they're going to be better than this, that, and the other. So I'll be fascinated to see who we sit down and talk to at SEC Media Days. Obviously, we'll get to talk to Jeff Lebby. But as far as the players go, I really don't have a good grasp on who's going to come to Dallas and talk to us there at Media Days. So I'm excited to find out. Should find that out next week. I don't think they'll break the news tomorrow. I mean, not tomorrow, definitely not tomorrow, but Friday, we'll see. But definitely next week, they'll send out the list that has everybody on it and all 16 teams. 16 teams, by the way. I don't know if you heard, Texas and Oklahoma, they joined the conference. That's why we're going to Dallas. So, looking forward to that. All right, guys, when we come back, like I said, I wanted to hit on a little more about Blake Shapen and sort of compare him to quarterbacks that have played under Lebby in the past. Maybe we can get an idea of what we should be expecting from him. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Rhino, that is 17-year-old Brian Haydad sitting in his locker getting ready for kickoff playing that song. Goodness, I haven't heard that in a long time. Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. That's Rhino down there in Studio X, making sure everything's going well. Hey, this Saturday, the Vicksburg Farmers Market is happening. Corner of Jackson and Washington, 8 a.m. until 12 p.m. That is a Mississippi certified farmers market. So come out and check out all the great local products you can get. If you need more information, call 601-634-4527 or visit VicksburgFarmersMarket.org. And of course, if you just want to check out the calendar of events, the website is visitvicksburg.com. A lot of great stuff going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. So we were talking about Blake Shapen a little bit previously and possibly coming to Media Days. And I like to look at, previous, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't pronounce that word. Previous times that Jeff Lebby has called plays and what his quarterbacks were able to do. Now, two of these guys were drafted into the NFL. One will be next year when his college career finally comes to an end. It's a pretty remarkable consistency of numbers with these guys. So we'll start with Dylan Gabriel, who was at UCF for 1 year under Lebby and then 2 more years under Lebby at Oklahoma. And we're talking about an average. It's just, you know, we're going to try to stick with average of about 3,300 yards per year, about 30 touchdowns, 27, 28 touchdowns, less than 10 picks, completing about 64% of his passes for his career. So let's, again, 3,400 yards, 28 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and 64% completion rate. Pretty good. Pretty good. Corral, his 2 years at Ole Miss under Levy, when Levy called plays, you were talking right at 3,300 yards passing. He threw 49 touchdowns in 2 years, so about 25 touchdowns. He threw 17 picks, but we've talked about how you got to like look deeper. 17 interceptions in 2 years as a starter under Jeff Lebby's offense, and 11 of those came in 2 games. So I'm willing to write a lot of that off. He just had 2 really miserable games in that system. Completed about 68.5% of his passes. Really, it's hard to believe, as much as Ole Miss threw the ball down the field in that offense, how accurate Matt Corral was. And it speaks to 2 things. Corral, incredible thrower of the football. Great arm strength, but also just a smart thrower of the football. Which is, again, he completed 71% of his passes in 2020 and had 14 interceptions. So basically, if he didn't throw it to the other team, it was going to his guy. That's basically what you're getting there. And he only threw it, and then his next year he was so much better. He completed a smaller percentage, 68%, but he only threw 5 picks in that year. So again, consistency of numbers, 3,300 yards, 25 touchdowns. You know, the 3,300-yard number is about right for everybody. I want to put another quarterback in here as well, and that's Hendon Hooker. Never coached by Lebby, but at Tennessee under Heupel's system, and Heupel and Lebby work together, and they are very familiar with each other, and their offenses are basically the same thing. Got to remember with Hendon Hooker, he didn't become the starting quarterback until I think game 3 for Tennessee, and then he got hurt with missed 3 games his last year at Tennessee. Only played 24 games total. Should have played, and probably only played 22 whole games. Whereas if he should have played closer to 27 home full games, but he threw for right at 3,000 yards on average, right at 20. Let's say it's 58 touchdowns, so 27 touchdowns, 29 touchdowns per season. He only threw 5 picks in 2 years. Incredibly, incredibly judicious with the football, and completed right at 69% of his passes. This offense lends itself to efficient passing, but it doesn't, you know, so did Mike Leach's offense, right? But none of us would confuse Mike Leach's offense and say it was an explosive offense, right? This offense gives you explosive passing plays, but also a high completion percentage. Oh, and by the way, it's also a run-heavy offense. It's an offensive offense that really emphasizes running the ball. Both years, Levy was at Ole Miss. They led the SEC in rushing. Oklahoma, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but they were a very good rushing team both years. And also going back to what I was saying earlier, in each of these years, there was a receiver who stepped up and had a massive season. Elijah Moore and Braylon Sanders at Ole Miss, Marvin Mims, and then Drake Stoops last year at Oklahoma. Chapin's numbers to this point in his career, only a 64% completion percentage, not as high as it should be, or at least that's what the numbers tell us. It should be in the Levy offense. He's thrown for 36 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, so basically 3-1. You'd like to see that go up a little bit, 14-1. Now he had 10 picks his sophomore year, which is the only full year as a starter he's had. 18 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Last year, in limited time because of injury, he was 13 touchdowns, 3 picks. His freshman year, he only played in 6 games, threw 5 touchdowns to no interceptions. Again, only 27 career starts. In his one full season, he threw for 2,790 yards, completed 63% of his passes. That was in an offense that, you know, that Baylor offense, good, really good, but not the same kind of offense he's going to be playing in under Jeff Lebby. So the question I always have, and I had the same questions with Mike Leach, and they kind of answered them because from a numbers perspective, Will Rogers was able to put up the kind of numbers you expected under a Mike Leach quarterback in his two full years as the starter. But that's the question. Can Jeff Lebby just come in and with the pieces that he has, do this? Now, he did that at Ole Miss. Got to remember, Kiffin's first year at Ole Miss in Oxford, no transfer portal. Now, I guess you could say in some ways he got lucky to have Corral and Elijah Moore and that group there. But at the same time, those same guys had not done those kind of things prior to his and Kiffin's arrival. So it's kind of he took what he had to work with at Ole Miss and turned them into stars and made them one of the best offensive teams in the country. So he's going to have to take what he has there at State. And he went out and got Shapen. And he tells, you know, when we've talked to him, he's very high on Blake Shapen. He went out and got the receivers that he got. He got the offensive lineman that he got. He's got a running back that he wanted. So he's got some pieces there. It's just going to be he did add Yeboah as a transfer. That is correct. Yeah, Kenny Yeboah. And then Yeboah was a big part of that offense. And I think that Sadu Traore can be a similar type player for Mississippi State. He is a big athletic tight end. He had a great year at Arkansas State two seasons ago. He sat out last year as part of the transfer portal. But yes, he will be able to, I think he can be a guy. And the tight end position has been a good position in this offense. The tight end position in this offense is so interesting. And you saw it last year at Ole Miss with Priestcorn, in that so many times when they go to the tight end, he is not just open. The tight end is wide open. I would throw another word in there. Wide something open, if you see where I'm going. He's like that. I can't tell you the number of times I watched, and then Yeboah was the same way, where they would throw the ball to him and there's just nobody else in the television screen. It's just like it's just a 20-yard swath of grass where the tight end is standing all by himself. The number of times, and not just that the tight end position, the receivers, that this offense is designed to get guys not just open but wide open. It's weird. It's almost like there's something going on there that defensive coordinators are just completely missing. And I'm fascinated to see if it translates here in Starkville. You know, there's two sides to it where you're thinking, okay, every stop Jeff Lebby has made where he's the offensive coordinator, they've put up monster numbers. But then part of you sees what happened last year in Starkville, and you think, well, can that happen at Mississippi State? And it's a fair fear to have, because Mississippi State has never been an explosive offensive team. Even Mullen's best teams with Dak and those guys, you wouldn't describe them as explosive, big play offenses. They were very much power, and they would grind you down with the running game. This offense grinds you down with the running game, but in a totally different way. So can State do that? Can Jeff Lebby do that, what he's always done before? I think he can. I'll say this, he's going to have to, because this team is going to live or die. Its bowl hopes will go with what it does offensively. And then what it does defensively will just determine which bowl they go to. If I'm making that clear. So we'll see. We'll wrap it up when we come back here on Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Big Bear. Big Bear.
send us into the long weekend, at least for me. You off Friday?
No, I'll be here.
Oh, you got this was the time. Thursday, 4th of July, get that Friday off. I didn't even use a PTO day. I just told Will, give me my Memorial Day. I had to work Memorial Day. I'll take it here. See how that's not working smarter instead of not working harder, I think is what I'm trying to say. It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. That's Rhino down there in Studio X. He has once again navigated the ship to a nearly complete stop. We will not remove our seat belts or get up and walk around until the plane has come to a complete stop. Next weekend in Vicksburg, starting July 12th, that's tax-free weekend. So all of the great stores in Vicksburg, clothing and shoe purchases are tax-free. Vicksburg has a ton of great options to go buy clothing, to go buy shoes. So please go out, support your local businesses in the great city of Vicksburg for a tax-free weekend, July 12th, starting at 8 a.m. through July 14th at 5 p.m. You can get out there and do some great shopping in the city of Vicksburg. Got big plans for the 4th tomorrow?
I'm going to cook out, may go see the last few innings of a baseball game, probably going to hear a lot of fireworks, but not anything in particular I'm looking forward to.
Do we know what's on the menu?
I know there are going to be deer burgers because I'm providing the deer meat. So.
Are you a hunter? I didn't know that.
Well, I haven't been hunting in a long time, but I do get some from my family whenever I go visit.
I've got some deer meat in the fridge as well. I mean, and I'm not a hunter, so it's kind of the same thing there. So we're going to my brother-in-law's tomorrow, and he's doing ribs. Ribs was very popular today on the text line, on the C-Spire text line. We did a Food Wednesday segment for the 4th, and a lot of people cook. I guess are ribs the most popular thing on the 4th? I guess that's the thing where it's like you don't have to get up too early to do that. You know, if you want to do a pork butt or a brisket, that's the early morning commitment. But you can start ribs at like 8 a.m. and they're probably done by close to the, you know, me have a late lunch.
Ribs feels like the first alternate. If you want to change things up from the normal hamburgers and hot dogs, then what do we want to do different? Well, let's do ribs. It's easy enough to where you don't feel like it's a daunting task, like doing a perfect brisket or something, but it's still more time-consuming than just your regular burger and dog.
I think, when I think 4th of July, I think a lot chicken leg quarters.
Like I can get behind that.
Somebody who's like got a big smoker full of chicken, gonna throw some barbecue sauce on there. I mean, that's his, you know, barbecue chicken lunch is very 4th of July. You think about that plate with the beans and the slaw and a roll on there. That's as American as it gets.
Oh yeah.
So, want to wish all of you guys out there a great 4th of July. Should be a fantastic holiday. And no sports talk, no super talk tomorrow. We're all going to take the day off, enjoy the date of our great country's independence. Did you hear what I said about Richard today? By the way, on the way out.
I must have missed it.
Our boss made a comment about he's got Donald Trump's ego. It's like he's got Trump's ego, but Biden's results. That's the most political I'll ever get here on this show, on any show, I promise you. But I saw an opening and I took it, so I couldn't resist it. So yeah, Richard and Michael will be with you on Friday, and then I'll be back on Monday, and then we got a whole week, and then 2 weeks from now, like I said, we'll be in Dallas for 4 days for SEC Media Days, SEC Media Days in Texas with Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. Every year it's a weird spectacle, and it really is kind of it does kind of speak sometimes to the self-importance of media at that thing where it's like, you know, this is an event for us. Like, we deserve this. But I get why they do it, right? And it provides a platform to start getting excited about football, to get your players and your coaches in front of the microphone or behind the microphone to talk about their teams. So I get that, but at the same time, the pomp and circumstance of it this year is just going to be out. And then they've started moving it around. You know, we've had it in Atlanta. We've had it in Nashville. The rumor mill is that it's going to be in St. Louis next year, which will just be incredible, I think. I had a great time in St. Louis. I don't know quite how it'll embrace SEC Media Days, but I have a really weird feeling that, like, there may be a cow on the premises of the Omni Hotel in Dallas in a couple weeks. There may be a Longhorn out there looking at us in there, you know, in the lobby. So we'll see. We will see. Happy Independence Day, Super Talk. Thank you for everything. Hey, we thank you guys for listening. We really, really appreciate it. Thanks, dudes. Have a great fourth. Dig the show. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate you guys tuning in. We appreciate you guys tuning in to Super Talk every single day. Enjoy the 4th of July. Have a great time with your families. Please be safe if you're using fireworks or anything like that. Please don't pull a Jason Pierre Paul. We want you to be able to turn the radio dial with us on Friday. Rhino, have a great 4th. Talk to you again very soon. For Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.